الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين. أسأل الله تعالى أن يوفقنا لما يحب ويرضى. كنا ذكرنا في الحصة الماضية أن قراءة القرآن عند قبر الميت شيء حسن. We mentioned in the past session that reciting Al-Quran next to the grave of a dead Muslim is a good thing. وقلنا إجماع أن المسلم الميت ينتفع من هذه القراءة. We said that the dead Muslim benefits from this recitation by consensus. وقد ورد في هذا الأمر حديث أو مما يتعلق بهذا الأمر ما رواه ابن حبان عن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: اقرأوا على موتاكم ياسين. Among the matters that are related to this issue is the hadith narrated by Ibn Hibban: اقرأوا على موتاكم ياسين. هذا الحديث اختلف في صحته. There is difference in opinions about this hadith. Is it صحيح, confirmed or not? وقد صححه أكثر من واحد من الحفاظ. More than one among the experts, scholars of hadith, judged it as صحيح. لكن أيضا اختلف العلماء في تفسيره. But the scholars had different opinions about its meaning. بعضهم قال اقرأوا على موتاكم, المراد هنا بالميت من قارب أن يموت. Some of them interpreted this hadith to mean recite سورة ياسين for those who are close to die among you. So the term, they interpreted the term mawtakum to mean those who are close to die among you. ومن العلماء من قال معناه على من مات. And some scholars said it means to recite Yasin for those who died, who actually died. وهذا المعنى الثاني هو المعنى الظاهر للحديث. And the second meaning is the apparent meaning of the hadith. ولا داعي, لا يوجد شيء يدعو إلى الخروج عن الظاهر وتأويله. And there is nothing that entails or causes to infer a meaning other than the apparent meaning to the hadith. ولذلك رجح بعض العلماء هذا المعنى. And this is why some scholars of hadith gave more weight to this meaning يعني أن الحديث معناه اقرأوا للإنسان الذي مات منكم سورة ياسين وأهدوه الثواب. So they said it means recite سورة ياسين offer the reward to those who die among you. وأنتم تعرفون أن الأصل أن يحمل الحديث على الظاهر ما لم يقم دليل على خلاف ذلك. الحديث والآية. You know that the rule is to give, to interpret the ayah or the verse or the hadith according to the apparent meaning, except if there is a proof for which one would infer another meaning to the verse of the or the hadith. فالخلاصة أن التمسك بهذا الحديث والاستدلال أنه يصلح التمسك بهذا الحديث والاستدلال به أيضا لقراءة القرآن وإهداء الثواب للميت. So in brief, it is valid to rely on this hadith, to recite Al-Quran and offer Al-Thawab, the reward to the dead person. فإذا يعني إذا قال فإذا ذكر أحدكم هذا الحديث فقام وهابي فقال هذا الحديث ضعفه فلان من الحفاظ, تقول له لكن قواه غيره, قواه ابن حبان, وأنا أخذ بكلام ابن حبان في هذا, كما أن فلانا حافظ ابن حبان أيضا حافظ وقد قواه. فإذا قال لك معنى تقول له وأنت ليس لك أن تحجر علي, تمنعني من أن أخذ بتصحيح ابن حبان وغيره لهذا الحديث, ليس لك أن تحجر علي. فإذا قال هذا الحديث يراد به من اقترب من الموت, تقول له هذا تأويل وخروج عن الظاهر بغير دليل, أنا أخذ بالظاهر وليس له كلام بعد هذا. So if at any time you mention this hadith while talking about reciting Al-Quran and giving the reward to the dead person, if a Wahhabi is in the session and this Wahhabi tells you this hadith is weak because so and so among the scholars of hadith judged it as weak, you reply, but Al-Hafiz Ibn Hibban judged it as sahih, to be a sahih hadith, and I want to go according to the judgment of Ibn Hibban. Neither you nor me are experts in the field of hadith, so we need to go back to the experts. If you go back, if you go according to the saying of so and so, I will go according to the saying of Al-Hafiz Ibn Hibban. So you cannot prevent me from that. If he says the term mautakum means those who are close to die, you tell him this is not the apparent meaning. In the Arabic language, the apparent meaning of mauta are those who died. And I want to stick to the apparent meaning, as is the rule, except if there is a proof that causes to interpret the hadith otherwise. And there is no proof for that. هؤلاء الناس الوهابية هناك بعض المسائل هناك بعض المسائل يرددونها يحفظون مسائل معينة ثم يرددونها على أسماع الناس وهذه المسائل على خلاف ما توارثه المسلمون جيلا عن جيل منذ أيام الصحابة إلى أيامنا لكنهم يأتون إلى الشخص الجاهل بأمور الدين إذا أتوا إلى الشخص الجاهل بأمور الدين يذكرون حديثا أو حديثين أو آية أو آيتين يفسرونها على خلاف معناها وهو ما تعلم أمور الدين هذا الذي يحفظونه يلقون ما يحفظون ما حفظوه يلقون ما حفظوه إليه إذا كان جاهلا قد ينخدع لهم ويصير مثلهم يكفر آباءه وأجداده ويرمي أجيال المسلمين الذين سبقونا بالكفر والضلال كما يفعلون أما الذي يتعلم علم الدين على ما ينبغي إذا ألقوا إليه بشيء من فسادهم يعرف أنه فاسد ويعرف الصحيح ويعرف كيف يرد عليهم لذلك تعلم علم الدين من المهمات حتى لا يكون الشخص ألعوبة بيد الشيطان شياطين الجن وشياطين الإنس The Wahhabis memorize certain issues. The heads made them memorize certain issues. These issues do not comply with what the Muslims all know with what the Muslims practiced since the time of the companions up till nowadays. It contradicts this. But still, when they come to an ignorant person, although he knows that what they are saying does not comply with what the Muslims say, this is not what my parents said, this is not what my grandparents practiced. This is not what the people of my town did. This is not what the people of the four school said. Although he knows that, he notices that, but he's ignorant. They come to him and they address him with a verse or two from Al-Quran, with a hadith or two from the hadith of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, chosen verses, chosen hadith, they pervert their meanings, and they tell him, do you want to follow Al-Quran and the Rasul, or you don't want? So this man, this ignorant person who did not acquire the knowledge of the religion properly, does not know what is the truth, and he did not learn. If he agrees with them, then he goes astray as they are, claiming the Muslims since the time of the companions up till nowadays as perverted, except for this small sect. And this clarifies the importance of the knowledge of the religion. Because the one who does not acquire the knowledge of the religion becomes like a toy in the hands of the devils. the devils of the jinn and the devils among the human beings. May Allah protect us from the evil. ومن الأمور التي يخالف فيها الوهابية السلف والخلف كل المسلمين أمر التوسل. Among وزيارة قبور الصالحين لأجل البركة. Among the matters that the Wahhabis contradict about them, all the Muslims since the time of the companions up till nowadays, is the matter of visiting the graves of the pious people seeking al-baraka and asking Allah by the Prophet alayhi salatu wassalam or by the pious Muslims or by other prophets for things. أهل السنة من أيام الصحابة يفعلون هذا. أهل السنة since the time of the companions they do this issue. ويعدونه شيئا حسنا and they consider it a good thing. ولا يعتبرونه حراما and they do not consider it حرام. أما الوهابية فيعدونه حراما. As for the Wahhabis, they consider it to be haram. ويموهون على الناس ببعض الأمور ببعض الآيات والأحاديث and they trick the people with some verses and some hadith of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. المسلمون من أيام الصحابة إلى أيامنا يزورون قبر النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام للبركة. معناه يرجون. The Muslims since the time of the companions up till nowadays visit the grave of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام seeking البركة from that. معناه يرجون أن يخلق الله لهم البركة بهذه الزيارة. يرجون أن تنزل عليهم الرحمة في تلك البقعة المباركة. هذا معناه. Which means they hope that Allah تبارك وتعالى give them blessings, he creates blessings and give these blessings to them because of visiting the grave of the Prophet. They hope that at that blessed area, mercies would come down on them. That's what it means. لا المسلمون لا يعتقدون أن النبي هو يخلق البركة. The Muslims who visit the grave of the Prophet, no one among them believes that the Prophet himself creates البركة. يعرفون أن الخالق هو الله. They know that the one who creates everything is Allah تبارك وتعالى. لكنهم يرجون الرحمة في تلك البقعة المباركة. But they seek the mercy, to get the mercy from Allah in that blessed area. أما الوهابية فيحرمون ذلك. As for the Wahhabis, they claim that prohibited. أيام سيدنا عمر رضي الله عنه أصاب الناس قحط. At the time of عمر, when he was a caliph, it didn't rain. تسعة أشهر ما نزل من السماء قطرة ماء. For 9 months, not one drop of rain came down. فأصاب الناس جهد شديد. the people, they got very sure. Stressed. وصار أهل البوادي يأتون إلى المدينة لأن أهل البوادي ما يجدون مرعى لمواشيهم ولا ما يأكلونه صاروا يأتون إلى المدينة. The people who lived outside the cities started to come to Al-Madina because they didn't have any grass for their cattle, animals to graze. So they started to come to Al-Madina seeking help from there. فضاق الأمر على أهل المدينة وعلى غيرها. So the issue got tighter, the situation got tighter for the people of Al-Madina and other people. عند ذلك واحد من الصحابة ذهب إلى قبر رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. At this stage, one of the companions went to the grave of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام. فقال يا رسول الله استسقي لأمتك فإنهم قد هلكوا. معناه يا رسول الله اطلب من ربك أن يسقي أمتك لأنهم اقتربوا من الهلاك. فإنهم قد هلكوا يعني اقتربوا من الهلاك. He went to the Prophet to the grave of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام and he addressed the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. He said, يا رسول الله, O Prophet of Allah, ask Allah to bring down the rain because your nation is close to perish. ثم ذهب. Then he went. ونام. He slept. رأى النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام في المنام يقول له إنهم سيسقون وبلغ عمر السلام وقل له عليك الكيس الكيس. يعني أبذل جهدك في خدمة الأمة والنظر في مصالحها. هذا الرجل. So he went back, he slept, he saw the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام in his dream telling him give Umar السلام telling him rain will come down, give Umar my salam and tell him to do his best in serving the nation of in serving my nation and seeking what's best for them. هذا الرجل لما أفاق ذهب إلى سيدنا عمر فأخبره بالقصة. When he woke up, he went to Master Umar and he told him all the story. ما قال له عمر كيف ذهبت إلى القبر تطلب من النبي تقصد البركة تقصد الرحمة تقصد العون. ما أنكر عليه سيدنا عمر. Our Master Umar did not tell him how did you go to the grave of the Prophet seeking the blessings, the help and the mercy there. ما قال له كيف كلمت النبي بعد موته. He did not tell him how did you talk to the Prophet after he died. لأن عمر يعرف أن النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام حي في قبره. Because our Master Umar knows that the Prophet is alive in his grave. لأن عمر يعرف أن مخاطبة النبي بعد موته ليست حماما. Because our Master Umar knows that talking to the Prophet after his death is not haram. أليس نقول في الصلاة السلام عليك أيها النبي. Don't we say in every prayer, As-salamu alayka ayyuha al-Nabi? We address him with our speech, although we are far away from him. Isn't it the case? لكن هناك ملائكة الله وكلهم أن يوصلوا إلى النبي صلاة من يصلي عليه من أمته وسلام من يسلم عليه. But there are angels whom Allah تبارك وتعالى ordered them to tell the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام about everyone among his nation who makes a salah على النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم or gives a salam to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. وعمر يعرف أنه لا بأس بقصد قبر النبي للبركة. عمر knows that there is nothing wrong in seeking the grave of the Prophet, going to the grave of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, seeking البركة. ما قال لهذا الرجل, ما أنكر على هذا الصحابي. He did not say anything objecting to the doing of this companion. ولا غير عمر من الصحابة أنكروا عليه. And no one other than Umar among the companions objected to this companion. لكن عمر صار يبكي. But Umar started to cry. لأن النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام في هذا المنام قال قل له علي أبذل, يعني معناه أبذل جهدك في فعل ما هو أحسن للأمة. معناه عمر فهم أن هناك شيئا فاته, فهم أن هناك شيئا فيه مصلحة هو ما فعله, فصار يبكي ويقول يا رب ما آلوا إلا ما عجزت, يعني أنا أعمل جهدي. But Umar started to cry. Why? Because he knew from the statement that this man heard in his dream, the statement of the Prophet, tell Umar to do, to seek what is best for my nation, etc. Umar understood from that he missed something. There is something beneficial for the nation, and he did not pay attention to it. He did not do it. So he started to cry and saying, Ya Rab ma alu illa ma ajazt, which means, Oh Allah, I'm doing my best. Thumma jama'a al-sahaba. Then he gathered some of the companions. Wa haka lahum al-amr. And he told them about what happened. يعني معناه أعينوني ما الذي فاتني, which means help me, tell me what did I miss. فقال له بعضهم أين أنت من صلاة الاستسقاء, ما صليت صلاة الاستسقاء. Some of them told him you missed to make the prayer of الاستسقاء, the prayer which is made to ask Allah for rain. عند ذلك سيدنا عمر أمر الناس فصاموا ثلاثة أيام. He ordered the people to fast 3 days. ثم خرج بهم في اليوم الرابع فصلوا صلاة الاستسقاء. In the fourth day, he prayed with them that prayer. ودعا, هذه الصلاة فيها دعاء. There is a supplication in this prayer. وفي دعائه قال اللهم إنا كنا نتوسل إليك بنبينا وإنا نتوسل إليك بعم نبينا, العباس يعني, لأن عم النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام العباس كان موجودا هناك. فأراد سيدنا عمر إظهار فضل العباس فقال إنا كنا نتوسل إليك بنبينا وإن اليوم نتوسل إليك بعم نبينا فاسقنا. He said, Umar, he made that prayer, he made a dua, and in it he said, O Allah, we used to ask you for things by the Prophet, and today we are asking you by the uncle of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, so give us rain. he meant by the uncle of the Prophet, Al-Abbas, the uncle of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, the brother of the Prophet's father. And he was there with them. Umar wanted to show the high grade of Al-Abbas. This is why he said that. لما ثم العباس دعا الله تعالى. Also, Al-Abbas made supplication to Allah تبارك وتعالى. قال اللهم إن القوم توجهوا بي إليك لمكاني من نبيك. He said, O Allah, the people, those people, asked you by me because of the status that the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, because I was a beloved one to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. بعد هذا الدعاء نزل المطر. After this supplication, the rain came down. أمطرت مطرا كثيرا. It rained too much. وصار خصب كثير في ذلك في تلك السنة. And يعني there was a lot of greenery during that year. حتى إن المواشية تفتقت بالشحم. سمنت كثيرا من كثرة الشحم. To a point that the cattle, they became very fat. They ate a lot and they became very fat. حتى سمي ذلك العام عام الفتق. من كثرة ما سمنت المواشي. So, هذا الحديث رواه البيهقي وغيره. This hadith is narrated by البيهقي and others. وحكم له الحفاظ بالصحة. And the scholars, the top scholars of hadith, judged this hadith by being a sahih hadith. البيهقي صححه وغيره. البيهقي judged it to be صحيح. And others. حتى ابن كثير الذي هو تلميذ ابن تيمية صححه. Even ابن كثير, who is the student of ابن تيمية, judged this hadith by being a صحيح hadith. ولأجل هذا الحديث وأمثاله ما وافق ابن تيمية في هذه المسألة. ابن كثير, because of this hadith and some other hadith, he did not agree with ابن تيمية about this issue, although he was his student. وليتنبه هنا إلى أمر. And be aware here about one thing. قد يقول قائل عمر ما توسل بالنبي وتوسل بالعباس, لماذا ترك الأفضل؟ لأن النبي مات, معناه لا يجوز التوسل بالميت. قد يقول قائل هذا. Someone might say, عمر asked Allah by Al-Abbas and not by the Prophet, although the Prophet has a higher rank. Why did he leave the one that has a higher rank and made التوسل by Al-Abbas? Then this means that it is not permissible to make tawassul with someone who died. هذا الكلام ليس حجة في الشرع, لا يستقيم حجة. Such logic, if you want, is not a proof in the matters of the religion. Leaving out doing something does not mean automatically that it is haram. ترك عمل شيء لا يدل على التحريم. النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام لما قدم إليه الضب ما أكله، وهذا لا يعني أن أكل الضب حرام. When the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام was offered الضب, do you know what's الضب? To eat it. Did you ever see الضب? A kind of lizard, a specific kind of lizards. I don't know how they call it in English, which is edible. The Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام did not eat it. And this does not mean that eating it is haram. And the companions understood that. الصحابة فهموا أنه ليس مجرد الترك يدل على التحريم. لذلك سأله بعضهم يا رسول الله أحرام هو؟ That's why one among them asked him, is it haram? So they did not deduce from just the act that the Prophet left out eating الضب that it is haram. So they asked the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, is it haram? النبي قال لا لكن لم يكن بأرض قومي فلا آلفه. يعني I'm not used to eat it. That's why I don't want to eat it. هذا الصحابي قال فاجتذبته فأكلته. That companion said I took it and ate it. So yeah. فإذا ليس مجرد الترك دالا على التحريم. Just leaving out doing something does not mean that this thing is haram. فوق هذا زيادة على هذا عمر كان هناك وعمر أفضل من العباس ولم يتوسل عمر بنفسه وعثمان كان هناك وعثمان أفضل من العباس ولم يتوسلوا بعثمان وعلي كان هناك وعلي أفضل من العباس ولم يتوسلوا بعلي. إذن ليس هناك التوسل بالعباس حصل لأمر مخصوص, ليس لأن النبي مات. اختيار العباس وترك عمر وعثمان وعلي وطلحة والزبير وغيرهم ممن هم أفضل من العباس لأمر مخصوص. So another thing, let's add to that another thing. Umar was there and he did not ask Allah by himself, although he's better than Al-Abbas. Uthman was there and Umar did not ask Allah by Uthman, although Uthman is better than Al-Abbas. Ali was there. Umar did not ask Allah by Ali, although Ali is better than Al-Abbas. Talha and Az-Zubayr were there, and they are better than Al-Abbas, and Umar did not ask Allah by them. So there is a specific reason why did Umar ask Allah by Al-Abbas. هل نعرف هذا السبب? Do we know this reason? نعم عمر أخبرنا. Yes, عمر himself told us. قال أيها الناس إن النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام كان يرى للعباس مثل ما يرى الولد لوالديه فاقتدوا به في عمه العباس واتخذوه وسيلة إلى الله. أيها الناس إن النبي معناه أيها الناس إن النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام كان يعظم العباس كما يعظم الولد والده فأظهروا اقتدوا بالنبي، افعلوا مثله، عظموا العباس كما كان هو يوقظه صلى الله عليه وسلم، واتخذوه وسيلة إلى الله. عمر بين لماذا توسل بالعباس، ليس لأن النبي مات ولا إنما لتوقير العباس كما كان الرسول عليه الصلاة والسلام يوقظه. So did Umar mention why did he choose to make a tawassul to ask Allah by Al-Abbas? The answer is yes. Umar addressed the people and he said the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام used to treat Al-Abbas respectfully just like a son treats his father. So imitate the Prophet, do as he used to do, that is, show the respect to Al-Abbas by asking Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala to give you the reign by him. Ask Allah by him to show respect to him, just as the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام used to say. كلام عمر هذا يبين المسألة بصراحة. This statement of عمر makes this issue very clear. فلا متعلق لأحد من أهل البدع بهذا الحديث ليقول لا يجوز التوسل بالميت. So the people of misguidance cannot take this hadith as a proof to say it is not permissible to make tawassul, to ask Allah by a dead person. وممن روى كلام عمر هذا الزبير بن بكار. And among those who narrated this statement of عمر رضي الله عنه is الزبير بن بكار. كان عالما محدثا نسابا، عالما بالأنساب، من أعلم الناس بقريش وأحوالهم، من نسل الزبير بن العوام رضي الله عنه. He was a scholar of hadith, scholar about the lineage of the people and especially the people of Quraysh. He was very knowledgeable about each and every one of them, about his lineage, his biography. He knew that very well. وذكر ذلك الحافظ ابن حجر في فتح الباري محتجا به، وهذا منه تصحيح لهذا الأثر. الحافظ ابن حجر mentioned this statement in his book فتح الباري while taking it as a proof. And he said in the beginning of his book, whenever I mention a hadith or a narration from a companion in my book without commenting anything about it, while explaining a hadith or while taking it as a proof, this means that I judge this narration to be a sahih narration. So he judges this narration to be sahih. وهذا الصحابي الذي ذهب إلى قبر النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام وقال له استسقي لأمتك فإنهم قد هلكوا، يقال له بلال ابن الحارث المزني. This companion who went to the grave of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام and told him, O Prophet of Allah, ask for rain for your nation, is called Bilal ibn al-Harith al-Muzani. بعد هذا كيف يجرؤ بعض الناس أن يقول الذي يزور قبر النبي للبركة مشرك؟ بعضهم هكذا يقول وإذا زار الإنسان قبر نبي من الأنبياء أو صالح من الصالحين للبركة فهو مشرك، هكذا يقولون. I don't know after all of this how some people dare to say that the one who visits the grave of a prophet or a wali, a pious person seeking the blessings by that he is taking partners with Allah. I don't know how do they dare to say that. لو كان في أيامنا حاكم يحكم بالشرع لكان له معهم موقف. سبحان الله. وقد روى البخاري وغيره أن سيدنا موسى قبل أن يموت قال يا رب أدنني من الأرض المقدسة رمية بحجر. It is narrated by al-Bukhari and others that Prophet Musa before he died he said, O Allah, make me closer to the sacred land, even with for the distance of throwing a stone. النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام حكى لنا هذا. كيف عرفنا؟ النبي حكى لنا هذا. How did we know about this? The Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام told us that. وقال والله لو أني عنده لأريتكم قبره قرب الطريق عند الكثيب الأحمر. يعني لو كنت قريبا، لو كنت هناك في هذه الناحية كنت دللتكم على قبره. قبره قرب الطريق عند الأرض الحمراء هناك. The Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام continued to say, by Allah, if I was there, that is in that area, I would show you his grave next to the road where the Red Hill is. وهذا لماذا يدلهم النبي على قبره؟ ليزوروه. Why would the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام show them his grave? To visit him. Yeah. What's the purpose? If you know where someone is buried, what would this benefit you? To go and visit him. This is why the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام said that. الحافظ ضياء الدين المقدسي، هذا من أكابر حفاظ الحديث من الحنابلة، قال أخبرني سالم التل قال ما رأيت استجابة الدعاء أسرع في موضع من ذلك الموضع. One of the great scholars, famous scholars of hadith, called الضياء المقدسي. He is the author of the famous book of hadith المختارة. This man said, Salim Uttal told me, this is another knowledgeable person, I never found the fulfilling of what I ask faster than the supplication that I do at that spot. That is, when he did a supplication at that spot, quickly he would get what he wanted. Faster than when he did supplication in other places. قال الضياء المقدسي وحدثني الشيخ عبد الله الأرمني أنه زار هذا القبر. This scholar called Ad-Diya al-Maqdis. Are you with me or with the rain? Are you sure? طيب. This scholar Ad-Diya al-Maqdisi said that I was told by a Shaykh Abdullah al-Armani that he visited this grave. قال ونام هناك. He slept there. فرأى في منامه قبة عند هذا المكان ورأى هناك شيخ إنسانا أسمر اللون. So he slept there in his dream. He saw a dome at that area and he saw a person with a swarthy person was a swarthy color.
Brown.
Yeah, light brown color if you want. So he said, Assalamu alaykum to him. Qala lahu sallama alayhi. Wa qala lahu anta Musa kalimullah. And he asked him, Are you Prophet Musa who heard the kalam of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala? Qala na'am. He said yes. Qal qulli shay'an. He told him, tell me something that is benefit me with something. Qal fa'awma'a ilayya bi'arba'i asabi'a. Wawasafa tulahunna. Ya'ni asabi'uhu tawila. So he showed him four of his fingers. And he described them that they were long, his fingers. قال فانتبهت من النوم ولم أدري ما قال ما فهمت ما الذي يعني. He woke up and he did not understand. What does that mean? He showed him these four fingers. What does that mean? قال فذهبت إلى الشيخ ديال. شيخ ديال كان شيخا من الصالحين الله أعطاه علم تأويل الرؤيا. قال ذهبت إليه فأخبرته بهذه الرؤيا. So he went to a pious person famous by knowing how to interpret the dreams. Allah gave him this knowledge. فقال يولد لك أربعة أولاد. He told him, you will have children. You will have four children. فقلت له أنا قد تزوجت امرأة لم أقربها بعد. He told him, I married a woman but we did not consummate the marriage yet. فقال له الشيخ ديال تكون أخرى ليس هذه. That Shaykh told him, this is not the one. قال حقيقة ما ولد لي أولاد من هذه المرأة ثم تزوجت أخرى فولد لي أربعة أولاد. He said, truly I didn't get children from this woman. I married another one and I had four children from that other woman. هذا المكان يعني يوجد مكان الآن قبة أريحة في فلسطين معروف بأنه مقام سيدنا موسى وصفه كما هنا كما ذكر في الحديث. There is a place close to Ariha in Palestine and there is there a maqam known to be the grave of Prophet Musa and the area there is just as it is described in the hadith of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام. Didn't anyone here visit this area? ما أحد زار هذا المكان؟ أما أنت ما زرت غادي؟ من أيضا؟ من غير غادي؟ لبابة من أيضا؟ سلاسة فقط؟ طيب نعم ما شاء الله. هي الأرض المقدسة تبدأ هناك، يعني قبر سيدنا موسى الله استجاب دعاءه، قربه جدا من الأرض المقدسة. Allah answered the supplication of Prophet Musa and his grave is very close to the sacred land. يعني بعد قبره بقليل تبدأ الأرض المقدسة. Just a little bit after his grave, the sacred land starts. من هناك إلى بيت المقدس. From there to Jerusalem. أما اليهود فلا يعتقدون أن هذا قبر موسى. لو كان كانوا أخذوه ما كانوا تركوه بأيدي المسلمين. The Jews do not believe that this is the grave of Musa. Had they believed that this is the grave of Musa, they wouldn't let it in the hands of the Muslims. أحد المشايخ في الشام في دمشق من أهل العلم الطيبين يقال له أبو سليمان الزبيبي ما زال حيا. هذا الرجل قال أبي كان في الزمان الماضي يتجر له تجارة فكان له تجارة مع واحد من فلسطين. ثم هذا الرجل تأخر ما أعطاه ما دفع له المال واحتاج أبي للمال فذهب إلى هناك ليطالبه بالمال ما استطاع أن يحصله ما استطاع أن يجده فكان مهموما قال ماذا أفعل؟ ثم قال أذهب إلى قبر إبراهيم عليه السلام لعل الله يفرج عني بذلك. فذهب إلى قبر سيدنا إبراهيم قال لما وصل إلى هناك طلع له إنسان من القبر على صفة إبراهيم عليه السلام وأشار إليه بيده. هذا الرجل كان صالحا أشار إليه إما إشارة إلى اثنين أو ثلاثة أنا نسيت. قال فبعد يومين يعني وقع في قلبه أنه بعد يومين أو ثلاثة يدفع له الرجل المال. قال بعد يومين أو ثلاثة الرجل جاء إلي فأعطاني مالي من المال. معروف هذا الأمر البابك عند قبور الأنبياء والصالحين قديما وحديثا، إنما ينكره من أقفل الله قلبه. A scholar in Damascus, his name is Abu Sulaiman al-Zabibi. He's still alive. He's a very old person, but he is still alive. Said, my father used to trade. And he had a dealing with a person from Palestine, from Al-Khalil, the town of Al-Khalil. He didn't give me the money that he owes me, and I was in a tight situation. So I thought, okay, I'll go to his town, search for him, and take the money from him. He didn't come to Damascus to give me the money. I went to the town of Al-Khalil. I searched for him. I couldn't find him. So I was sad. I thought to go to the grave of Prophet Ibrahim. I went to the grave of Prophet Ibrahim, and suddenly a man having the attributes of Ibrahim alayhi salam went out from the grave. And he told me, he gave me a sign, either two or three, I forgot. I don't remember now. Did he say two or three, the sign of two or three? I don't remember. He said, so in my heart, I got the feeling that in two or three days, this man will come and pay me my money. And this is what happened. After two or three, I forgot, this man came to him and gave him the money that he owed him. The blessings that occur next to the graves, at the graves of the prophets and the pious Muslims, is something known since long time ago, since the time of the companions up till nowadays. Now, if someone has a hard heart, and that's why he doesn't see that, this is his or her problem. But the fact is, there are a lot of blessings there. Allah yassir lana al-istifadata minha. Naqifu huna. Wallahu a'lam. Let us stop here, and Allah knows best. وكما يعني لماذا أنا أخبركم هذه القصص حتى تروا أن علماء المسلمين الماضين والحاضرين كلهم على هذا. Why would I tell you these stories? Just so you notice that the famous scholars of among the Muslims, those who lived long time ago and those who are living nowadays, all of them, this is their belief, this is what they know about the rules of the religion. So if one time you would come across someone who's deviated, you could know that he is deviated from the path of the nation. تفضل. قول رحمه الله. يعني yeah, it has a certain explanation. We'll go over it, inshallah.
What's exactly the land that is considered a sacred land?
Some scholars said, don't neglect mentioning Allah and reciting Al-Quran, etc. So your home becomes like a grave, where usually there is no recitation and no zikr, etc. No. It starts, the land that is considered sacred land, it starts from the mountains, the hills that are after that area that I described to you. Yani from behind the hills till Jerusalem and other parts. Now, in our... Yeah, this is good. Okay. Good. This is recitation of Al-Quran. It depends. How are they reciting properly? When they recite in group, are they reciting properly or not? If it is properly, then everyone is reciting, that is. But they are reciting together. If they are not reciting properly, then there is a problem there. Sometimes when you recite in group, you might skip words, you might... If this is the case, then yes. Then reciting individually would be the proper way to do it. Wafiq. No. What? Why would this be? Yani, this is not the case. Come on. Is it permissible to sit on that chair? What? Tell me. Yes? Of course, is there an explicit statement saying that the Prophet said it is permissible to sit on the chair? Don't try to search for explicit statements like that for everything which is permissible. This is not the way. Is it permissible to eat salt? It is? Okay. Is there an explicit statement from the Prophet saying it is permissible to eat salt? The rule is, whatever the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam did not make it, did not judge it as prohibited, then it is not prohibited. That's the rule. Otherwise it would be a very difficult issue for everything. You need that the Prophet, not you Yani, that the Prophet said, This is permissible. This is not the way. Tafaddali.
Were the things that the Prophet said are good or permissible, for example, eating dates, sunnah, and so on, if you're a person who doesn't...
Eating dates...
After you break fast.
Ah, okay. When you break fast, okay. Don't say that. And overcome your dislikeness. Try that.
Oh, I love dates. I know you do.
I know you do. If someone is describing, is saying that I don't feel tendency towards eat this issue, he's not committing a sin, but I wouldn't choose this way. When you'll accept, Lubaba Mahek, yeah. My daughter, when she was little, she didn't prefer figs. And one day, Sheikh Abdullah was at our house, and he offered her a fig to eat. And she said, I didn't prefer it, or something. She was, how little were you? Very, very little. And Sheikh started to talk with her as if he's addressing a mature person. Yeah, why don't you like it? It is beneficial. It is, until she ate it. Yeah, well, she, so even with a little child, he didn't let it pass. Yeah, because what Al-Quran, the way that Al-Quran praised and the way of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, this is the way that we should follow, regardless of our tendencies. Can or did what? Of course you can. Am I preventing you from hearing it? Inshallah, I will. Hey, Ahmed. Inshallah, those who didn't take al-tariqa rifa'iyya, we'll talk then about this issue. Tfaddal, Ahmed. Do you have the picture? I don't deal with that. Is it a complete one? It's your business. Shafi'i says this is not... Anyway. Inshallah, when you go, if anyone goes to Lebanon, I have at my house one of them. So, it's not a picture. Yeah, you can see it. And, yeah, تفضل. كيف لا؟ كيف لا؟ طيب بارك الله فيكم نهلل لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم بارك الله فيكم